Welcome to the Destination Begin podcast. I'm your host, Kristen Smith. I've lost over 250 pounds. I've started my life over multiple times and managed to find humor, lessons, and joy in the process. And now I'm here, sharing those stories with you. Thanks for joining me. Hi, hi. Welcome to the podcast. You're not going to hear much from me because I have a guest today. But I just want to tell you that you need to listen to this to the very end, because the best parts of this story, which is hard to ascertain because it's all amazing, the best part is at the very end when I ask her to give advice to all of my listeners, because she has the best advice said in the best way possible. If you want to change your life, you need to listen to this episode. Nadina came to boot camp a year and a half ago, and I've watched her transform her life, and she proves every day that dieting and white knuckling it and all of these crazy things that are sold and advertised out there are garbage, and that if you decide you want to change, you can do it. And we get discouraged thinking that it's impossible to change because we see all of these people who lose weight and then gain it back and do all these crazy things. That's because those things don't work and they never will. Don't look at those things. Those are proof that there's just crap out there and people want to sell you things and make money. What you need to do is listen to the story of Nadina and people like her, and understand that we as common human beings can do the uncommon in this world, and that's take charge of our life and our health, and that it doesn't have to be drudgery, and there's so much joy. You're going to hear Nadina's joy, the joy come through her voice. So I'm so excited that you're here to listen to this. Settle in and get to know Nadina with me. Welcome, Nadina, to the podcast. I have a guest today, and I'm really excited when I have guests because you guys get to learn from someone other than me. And this is probably my biggest coup for podcast guests, because she's probably the greatest success story that I've ever been witness to, and I claim a little part of it. Not very much, because I really didn't try to find Nadina. But Nadina is here. You've seen her pictures on Instagram. You've seen her all over all of our social media. I've talked about her numerous times on the podcast. So welcome, Nadina.
Oh, thank you so much, Kristen. Yes, I think what you said about you being part of my success story is very true, because since the moment I found bootcamp, my life has changed in a very, very positive way. I mean, it's true that I am the one that is doing the work,
yes,
to make that happen, but I feel the motivation and the leadership and, the engagement that I have with the group and with you. It's something that allowed me to do this,
So good.
Yes. So.
Yes. Yeah. Well, Nadina came in May of 2022 to boot camp. And I don't remember how the first conversation went. I just remember meeting you and your husband, Caesar, and just kind of saying, oh, hi, I'm glad you found us, yada, yada. And it was interesting because a lot of people ease their way in and don't say a whole lot and don't come to stuff right away. But you and Caesar started coming to all the things right away and really immersing in the community. So it was really, really fun to just, like, you jumped in.
Yeah.
So, well,
yeah,
I love that.
At this time, at that time when that happened, actually, I found you because of those classes that you were giving at the fountain. And I saw that there were those classes. I couldn't attend because the time was not convenient for me. But and then I went to the link of the Miami Beach Boot Camp, and I found that. And I say one day to my husband, okay, let's go this Sunday and let's try how that is, you know? I was like kind of scared of going myself alone or whatever, you know? So we went the two of us, and we had a good time, and then we decided that we wanted to continue.
I guess I didn't ever know that.
Yeah,
it was the fountain thing. Yeah. I thought that was a big giant waste of time because
no, for me, I mean, for promotion.
People.
Yeah. Well, you found me.
We found you. All right. Well, we're going to go back there again. So, so let's back up. I would love for you just to tell everybody a little bit about yourself, because outside of all of the stuff we're going to talk about, you have such a cool, inspiring story. Like, already. Yeah. So tell us your whole life story, Nadina. We got
My
time.
Whole life story is a long story, but okay. I was born in Argentina, and I emigrated to Canada first a few, like 22 years ago with my son, that he was like 4 years old at that time. And then we moved here. Well, I've lived there for 4 or 5 years. I met Cesar there in Canada while we were both working as accountants in the same company.
Yeah. Another accountant.
Yeah. So we worked for UPS at that time. And he was here in Miami, and I was there in a small town called Moncton in New Brunswick in Canada. And you know, we met and we started a relationship, and we decided that we wanted to live together, and we came here. And since then, I've been here like I think it's around 18 years I've been here in Miami, and married with Cesar, and we have a daughter that she's 16, and I have my son that he's 26, you know.
Yes, and Caesar is super fun too. Caesar, we could have him on the podcast and get his story too. Caesar's a bundle of energy.
Yeah, he is.
He's
amazing. Caesar is kind of, you know, he can be that fun or he can be that serious, you know. So he doesn't show that side so much on the boot camp, you know, but he has a very interesting personality, you know.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yes,
and he has a lot of energy for sure. And he's been a runner forever since I met him and before. You know, he started running actually because of the corporate run also. Mm-hmm. And because he saw a person that was like 70 years old and was running. And he couldn't run at that point. He was in his 30s. And the guy told him, I'm 72, I'm doing this. And that was like, okay, what is that? How cannot I do this, you know? Yeah. If this 70 years old can do it, you know? And then
that's
at
motivation.
That point, he started running, and it's like more than 20 years he's been doing that, you know?
That's
so
awesome. Yeah, he's fast.
Yeah.
I half marathon one time, and I got passed by like a 68-year-old guy who was running a marathon in every state, and I was like, oh.
Yeah.
I know, okay, I gotta up my game.
Yeah.
So awesome. So tell us a little bit about what your life was like, or what, you know, what was happening with you when you found boot camp and decided to come try us out one
time. A few months before that, like in December, I think it's 2021, right? Or 2020, I don't know.
21,
right? Yeah. In December 2021, I got COVID. A few months before that, in January 2021, I had an accident. I was trying to catch my dog, and I fell down, and I broke my tooth, and I lost my front tooth.
Oh.
And I had to have an implant and so on, you know, and it was a very painful and very difficult situation for me. I felt like, for me, that was the end of the world. I think it's the most serious thing that happened in my life, really. You know, like, I mean, people go through a lot of things, you know, but for me, it was horrible to have that situation, especially feeling that, how can I fall like that, you know? And break and lose my toes, you know. And that was one of the things that I started thinking, I cannot, my mobility is impaired, and I cannot continue like this, because this is like a warning of something more serious can happen to me, like break my hips or whatever, other bones, you know, and it becomes very difficult to heal, right? So that was the first warning. Then I got COVID. I had a very bad situation with COVID. At that point, I was weighing around 270 pounds. And that's, I think, the reason why I was so weak with the COVID, and also so, you know, not stable, because my body was completely off, you know, by the weight and by not having muscle and by not being fit, you know, and so on, you know, so.
270 pounds.
So at that point, I started thinking about changing, especially in December when I got COVID after that, you know. Changing my lifestyle somehow to start losing weight and becoming more fit and so on, you know. Up to that point, I mean, I've been slim most of my life, you know. And even when I had my kids, I lost the weight easily. It was not that I stayed with a lot of weight, you know. And but I don't know, there's a point where I started gaining weight and I didn't realize. And, it was 2 pounds a month or 2 pounds every 2 months, you know, that accumulate and you don't see it happening, right? And I don't know, I just let it be. I didn't want to change. I didn't want to exercise. I didn't want to change the way I was eating. was like, I'm not going to change anything, you know. And that was my mindset, you know, and I respected that. And, you know, you hear all this, oh, everybody has their body. We need to, you know, respect whatever body we have. I mean, it's good to think like that. But when you are not fit and you that affects other things that you want to do in your life, yeah, or your health, you may need to think about that a little bit more, right?
Yes.
So, I mean, and that's those are, I guess, the two events that triggered me to start moving a little bit more. So in January that year, after the COVID and so on, we started walking like I would walk to the beach, right? So from my house to the beach is like a mile. And I would walk half of the way, go to have breakfast, and then continue the other half because I couldn't walk the full mile.
Wow.
Without having that rest, you know? So the first time I walk, we walk from my house to the fountain that is like, I don't know, 0.4 mile, I would say.
Wow.
I was so red and out of breath that my husband was worried that, you know, we need to take the trolley to come back because I couldn't do it, you know? Like,
yeah.
it was something, it was terrible, you know? So those things, you know, but we started slowly and we will go to breakfast, then go to the beach. We carry the chairs, go to the beach, sit there at the beach for an hour and come back, you know, and so on, you know, and do a little stop when we come back. Also, we don't eat, but we stop somewhere and then we get home, you know. So that was for, like, I would say 3 months that we were doing that on the weekends only and, you know, increasing a little bit the walking and so on.
So you were starting where you were and moving a little bit closer to ideal.
Yeah, and controlling a little bit what I was eating and so on. I may have lost like 10 pounds or something, you know, during that period since December until I started boot camp. I think more or less I lost around 10 pounds, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I found you, like I told you, I was looking for something to do. I used to go to Equinox before, and now I'm enrolled again in Equinox,
mm-hmm.
but and I had a personal trainer at a certain point, you know, like that's probably 8 years ago. Still, I was weighing like 220 pounds, right, at that point, because
mm-hmm.
I just saw them. They did, this week, they did this body fat in body weighting, you know, and I have the old one that I did at that time. And I was like 210 around, and my body fat was like 35%, right? When I did this one, I'm now 179, and my body fat came to 25%,
wow.
You know? So, I mean, for a person of my age, that's a healthy amount of body fat.
Well, yes, and we started this story 18 months ago, and you were 270 pounds, and you just said 179.
Right.
So that's 90 pounds.
Right, that's right, yeah.
That's even more than I realized.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. Amazing.
Yeah. So, yeah, when I started boot camp, I think it was 267, so yes.
Wow.
Right. Yeah, yeah, so.
Yes, and I remember, you know, the first few times you came to boot camp, there were a lot of, you know, we do a pretty hardcore workout.
Right.
We always offer modifications, but I mean, it's designed to be as hard as you want it to be or as modified as needed.
Right.
So things like burpees and jumping around and sit-ups and all of those things, they're always in the workout.
Yeah. For me, the burpees, I couldn't do it. I mean, I can do sit-ups. I think my core is a strong... I'm a strong person in general, you know, like even when I was... I mean, also weight helps sometimes, you know, to be stronger, right?
Yeah.
So, but... but I always been kind of strong, you know, but... but the burpees or any type of exercise that was kind of more cardio-oriented, jumping and things like that, it was almost impossible. You know, like at the beginning, I will touch my foot and that's it. I'm not going to lie on the floor.
Right.
Also, I had this panic about going to the floor and not being able to stand up again or falling or, you know, that was something that when I see the burpee that you are just plunging there on the...
Yeah, on your belly.
Right.
And then you gotta get up.
Right. So it was something at the beginning I couldn't do. But, I mean, I always I always work to the maximum of my ability. And that's the way I look at it, you know. And that's the way I always try to do everything in my life, you know. And maybe that's the reason I also gained so much weight, because I was focused on other things that I was doing at the maximum of my ability, that I didn't balance other stuff, like having time for my movement, or, you know, walking, or whatever activity, physical activity, you know. Yes. I was so focused on my work. I mean, for years I would work probably until 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock in the evening, most of the days, you know. My husband always tell me, you come, I mean, that I had a person that helped me in the house for me to be able to do that, you know? Mm-hmm. And I mean, that was like, since I am an immigrant here and so on, I always have this idea that I need to give 150% of whatever I do, you know, to be able to get to the same place that the person that was born here and educated here and everything, you know, will get, you know? So I always work this hard, you know, and I mean, I didn't take care of myself, you know, like my focus was that, you know, and I wouldn't find time to do anything for myself. At this point, I am trying to be more balanced and trying to, you know, I mean, I work hard, but I need to be, I need to feel good. I need to feel fit, and all of that helped me also in my, even in my work, you know. I think I deliver a better work because I have more patience, I have, you know, more stamina to do things, you know. I have more energy even, you know. My house is more organized than ever because I have more energy when I get home. It's very difficult for me to sit still or watch a movie or do anything of that, you know. I always want to continue moving, you know. It's like when you start moving, it's inertia, right?
It's, momentum, an object in motion wants to stay in motion.
Yeah, so that's the way I feel about including physical activity in my life, you know. It really, it's not about, you look better, you look like, that's important, it makes you feel good, right? But the level of energy, the level of my patience is much better, you know, because when you have to do something that is hard physically, then you take a little bit more of time of thinking before getting angry about something, you know, because that effort gives you the, you know, I don't know how
it's mental toughness.
to be in this situation and say, okay, I need to breathe, I need to go through this, and I don't need to get upset about this so much, you know?
Yes.
So I feel that also makes me a better person and a better boss or a better colleague, you know, a better worker, you know? So, I mean, maybe putting 15 hours at work was not, but it was what I had to do at that time. I don't feel I have to do that anymore, and I feel that I can balance other things in my life that make me feel better, you know.
That's so good.
Yeah.
Well, and that happens to a lot of people. Yeah. When people come to me, that's usually the first thing is like, I've forgotten myself, I've let myself go, I've gotten busy, and now I'm ready to prioritize myself and find myself again.
Yeah.
And they can always refer back to a time when they did feel like themselves, but somewhere along the way, life just took over. And that happens, whether it's with work, whether it's raising a bunch of babies, whether that's building a career. And then at some point, you know, your inner heart and soul says, okay, no, me, now me. And if it means we've gotten to a place where our bodies aren't healthy, that's the first place that we can start taking care of ourselves. And then immediately we get the result of feeling good in our skin, even if we haven't lost a pound.
Right.
Because we've said, all right, everybody else can take their proper place. And for this little hour, this little chunk of time, I am going to take care of myself. And that does translate into a feeling of empowerment and patience and being a better you when you're done, because you've served yourself. And seeing that happen in humans is, it's every single time.
Yeah.
And people think, oh, it's just exercise and it's just that. But it's not. It's moving your body, but it's what it is doing is it's prioritizing yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's feeding your soul by using your body as a tool. And it's so inspiring. And that's why people are so inspired to do it. And that's why it's so hard to get started, because you have to kind of start before you see a whole lot and really have faith that you're going to get that momentum going and that you're going to feel that eventually, even if it's just really hard. And, you know, the way you worked out in the beginning, what I love is when you first start working out and you're out of shape, it's really hard to get through a class. And then you overcome that and things get easier and easier. And what a lot of people do is, because it's easier, they just don't work any, and now it's easy. And I always say, if you work as hard every workout as you did on the first one, you're going to increase your fitness forever and ever. Like, we should always be working that hard. And that's what I've seen you do. Now that you can do a burpee, you do a lot more burpees than a lot of other people. You aren't like, well, now I can do a burpee, I'll just cruise through. You've always come, work hard, leave sweaty, leave exhausted, just like on day one.
Yeah.
You can just do more.
That's my time for myself, and that's my time. It's like I need to prove myself all the minute that I'm doing this. I'm doing my best effort. I mean, I cannot think about doing something without behaving that way. You know, yes. Like everything that I do, I will put my best effort. I mean, if I clean the floor, I always tell my kids, you know, if you ever have to do a job of cleaning, you need to be the best cleaner in that place. You know, it doesn't matter what job you do, you always need to try to be the best in that place. You know,
absolutely.
So that, I mean, that even if you think that you're qualified to do something else, first prove that you can do that thing better than anyone else. You know, and I do. I mean, that's the way I do exercise too. I mean, I go there. If I don't want to go there, I don't have to go there. You know, like right. No one is forcing me to do this. You know,
no one is forcing. I always say that. Your mom did not make you come here. You're here.
I go there, and I go there to put my best effort. You know, and I mean, sometimes I need to listen to my body too, because, for example, now my leg is a little bit sore. You know, and I need to listen to that, and I may need to. But I don't want to stop. You know, because. Going back is difficult when you stop, you know? Yes. So I'm trying to find a different exercise or different ways to do. Like, for example, today I was doing squats while people were doing jumping jacks or whatever, you know, but because the region of my leg that hurt is the calf, so the calf doesn't get sore when I do a squat, but I cannot do jumping jacks, you know? So for example, right.
It's listening to your body.
Yeah. But yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about the trajectory. So we've got 18 months.
Yeah.
We've lost about 90 pounds.
Yeah.
And so talk a little bit about the trajectory of what you did for movement to start and how it's changed along the last 18 months. You started with coming to boot camp. How often?
Yeah. I probably was going like four times a week. Yeah. Or four or five times a week, you know? I also walk. I was not walking that much at that point, you know. I mean, I made a point that I will walk from boot camp to home because my husband will drop me off in the morning on the weekdays, right? He will drop me off and I will walk home. So that's 1.6 mile. That walk at the beginning, I had to stop for breakfast. So I will go to Buenos Aires.
Ah, so good.
Yeah, and I have breakfast there and then continue home, right? So to cut the 1.6 mile because I couldn't walk the 1.6 mile altogether going home, right?
Wow.
So I'll do that two, three times a week. And then on the weekends we walk also. I walk like 2 miles every. My speed at that point was like 3.3. You know, that's the maximum I can walk like at the beginning, you know. So I started doing that. Then I started walking straight home and having breakfast at home, you know. That allows me also to control what I eat, you know. Then I started running. I mean, I started running like 4 or 5 months ago, you know?
Yeah, because we go for a walk and we can see you, and you're like, I got to get my 3 mile walk in.
Right. Yeah, I will walk 3 miles every Saturday and Sunday, you know? So after boot camp, or the weekends, I will walk 3 miles, you know? Yeah, and my speed will go up and up, you know? The latest I was walking like at 4.8 miles per hour. But it's almost like running, but, you know, it's a very intense walk, right? So, but now I'm able to run like a mile and a half without stopping, and then I have to walk. I cannot run 3 miles, for example. My speed is around 12 minutes a mile, you know, when I do that. It's a run walk, usually. I can run at 10.5 minutes, a mile, like if I'm running constantly, but I cannot do that for 3 miles or 4 miles. Or yes. Lately, I was running, walking, like the maximum, the 6 miles, you know, and so on, you know.
Yeah, you and Caesar did our 10K.
Yeah, yeah, we did the 10K. And I did that a few weekends also, like the same distance, other than the one that we did with the boot camp.
So somebody who could walk to the beach without stopping did a 10K.
Yeah. Yeah,
so exciting. It lights me up.
No, and I enrolled for a half marathon that I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it now with my leg. You know,
well,
we will see.
Heal.
On Monday, I have an appointment to see what's going on with that. But, you know, that's why I was increasing my running. I had a plan for 12 weeks to increase 10% a week, the distance until I get to the 13 miles, you know, 1 week before of that, you know, so I can... But I
peer
don't
pressure.
Yeah.
We peer pressured her into doing the Miami half marathon. We have
it's
8 weeks.
Okay.
We got time.
Yeah.
But so your trajectory was number one, from my perspective as the coach, you just would show up.
Yeah.
Consistency.
Yeah.
Even when you travel, I would see you posting, I hit the gym at
I cannot stop. And
consistency.
Yeah. We need to find time to move, whatever it is, the movement, right? Sometimes it's like a gym in the hotel, you know, we do some weights or whatever, you know, running on the treadmill, you know, depends on what we find, right? When we are not here, we try to continue always doing it. At least I have to exercise 4 times a week, and I need to walk every day. Every night when I get home after work, I go for a walk. 3-4 miles, you know.
So great.
Yeah, because I mean, I feel that that's what keeps my also weight loss going, you know.
Did you hear that? All of my current clients?
Yeah.
This is what I say. Walking is your golden ticket.
Right.
It's not... So many people say it's not enough. Well, it's not enough if that's all you do and you do it once in a blue moon.
Right.
But if you walk every single day, you move your body, that is, it's free calorie burn.
Yeah.
It is stress relief. It is the release of cortisol. It is cardiovascular fitness. If you get a walking regimen into your life, your body has a really hard time holding on to excess weight.
Yeah, for
it's
me,
so powerful.
I do it for the stress. Actually, that's the main goal I have when I walk in the evenings after work, you know. It's like, I don't know, when you get to your house and you remove all your clothes and you take a shower and you put your pajama, more or less that same way, you know, but with your feelings, you know.
Yes.
Like it removes all these interactions that may not have been that pleasant during the day, or things, you know, that may have been stressful. That walk allows me to get over all of that,
yes.
You know, and
so
you know, and go to bed in a more calm way. Even the days that I do boot camp at night, I go for a walk, because that boot camp at night is kind of intense, and sometimes it may interfere with my sleep. So the walking is like allowing me to chill a little bit.
Decompress.
And yeah.
Well, there are times where I don't feel like walking at night if I have it
on
my schedule, and then I'll look on social media and Nadina has posted, got my walk in. I'm like, oh, I gotta go do mine because she did hers, and I gotta be consistent. But so consistency, big part of your the reason why you've had such great success. Walking, a big part of your success.
But I want to say that consistency is not because I have this objective in mind to be consistent. It's because I am happy when I'm doing this.
Yes.
You know, and I feel that this is important, you know, because people told me, oh, you must be exhausted of doing all this physical activity. I have to run, and it's like, oh my goodness, I don't want to do this. And you know, for me, I don't feel any of that. You know, I don't feel exhausted. I feel a lot of energy. And I don't feel unhappy about doing this, you know.
Yes.
For me, it's joy, you know. And I, the other day when I was driving to the office, I see all these people running and my leg is sore. And I was thinking, I want to be one of those people, you know. Why I cannot do this?
Oh, no, it's the worst.
It sounds like a nerdy fitness person, you know. But honestly, it makes me happy, you know. And, and you know, I've been... Before all this, like probably 3 years ago, I've been taking antidepressants for probably 3 or 4 years, 3 or 4 years before this, you know, and I tell you, I never feel so less depressed in my life than now. You know, like my mood is completely different to the mood that I used to have at that time. When even with the antidepressants and everything, you know, I feel like I'm happy. I'm positive. You know, not happy all the time because it's impossible to be happy all the time, right? But I feel joy. Positive. You know,
yes.
I feel joy. You know, yes, and I know that if there's something that affects me, maybe I go for a walk and it maybe it goes away from my mind, you know?
Yes, it's the best antidepressant movement.
Yeah.
And again, when you're starting out, sometimes it's hard to see that until you feel it. But once you feel it, they say, like, you know, food, taste, cigarettes, alcohol, drugs, it gives you a shot of dopamine, which dopamine always says, give me more of that. You're never satisfied.
Yeah.
But there are things we do that bring joy, that satisfy.
Yeah.
And movement. And you do the things you love. Like, some people don't love running, but they love spin or they love CrossFit. But that thing, they don't feel like it. They have to do it. They do it and it's joy. And that changes life.
Yeah.
It changed my life. I mean, movement changed my life. And that's why I'm so passionate about doing boot camp.
Yeah.
Because I feel like if people can come and meet themselves and find joy in movement, then they leave, and then they go and bring that everywhere. And that's what you've done.
Yeah.
You bring that to your office. You bring that to your family. You bring it back to us. And it, you know, I always say, find the thing that lights you up and do that thing. And if something doesn't light you up, find something else.
Right.
Because something will light you up. And now it's like part of your personality. I mean, a couple of years ago, you probably would have thought it would be nutty to imagine being sad not to run.
I hate running, actually. I used to run. I used to run when I was in high school, and I used to run short distances like a sprinter, you know, and I hate it. And I think it's different. One of the reasons I like it now, because I think the running longer distances is different than sprinting in the sense that sprinting is more adrenaline-based, you know, like fueled by that, okay, I need to get this done fast, you know, and the... And the running longer distance is more mental, you know, like I need to continue, it's endurance, you know. So I think that type of activity goes better with my personality than that adrenaline type of activity, you know.
Yeah.
So, So, but I hate running, and now I love it, you know, because it's so easy in the sense of I was scared at the beginning, and that's why I was not running from the beginning. And I think everybody needs to go to the same process. I mean, you cannot say, I'm going to start running today, you know, like, I think walking is a good gate to get to that running, you know, I mean, you need to try that before starting running, like, because you are going to exhaust yourself and you are not going to want to do it anymore, you know, but if you can improve your walking and then go to the running, you know, most of the people, I mean, unless you are super fit, you know, and you can start with the running, you know, but
well, tell everybody walking, like when I've seen you and you have a process. You don't just go for a walk, a leisurely stroll. Like when I see you, it's a workout. You're working.
And I control my, I mean, I'm a statistics freak, right? So I have my own spreadsheets of everything that I do. You know, I'm an accountant, so a spreadsheet is my life, you know. But I keep statistics of everything, like with my watch and all that, you know. So what is my heart rate here? What was my heart rate there? You know, I look at those things, you know. And I try to keep a certain heart rate for certain walks and a certain different heart rate for running and so on, you know. So I look at those things, you know, but I mean, I understand that not everybody wants to go through all those numbers, you know.
Not the spreadsheet necessarily, but I always tell people, like, when you get a routine walking, then you need to increase either your distance or your intensity in order to continue to get fitness.
Right.
And that's what you've done.
Yeah.
I mean, I've gone for walks with you and I'm like, oh, I can't walk this fast.
Yeah.
What's happening? For me, it's basically a run the way you walk, but that is...
No, I see people running and I walk faster than those people. But you know, it's just I mean, I feel more I feel more secure when I'm walking than when I'm running, because the flying on the running it can be scary for certain people.
Yeah.
It was for me. It's not anymore. But at a certain point, I was scared of falling or things like that.
Yeah,
you know, so that sensation that you are flying now. I feel it like freedom, you know? So running for me is a moment of freedom, you know? And that's the way I feel it.
Yes, it makes me so emotional. There are a few things more joyful. I mean, there are people who hate running are never going to love it. But when you fall in love with running, there's something about running that is that is just, I don't know, it connects to your
And it's so easy, right? You just put some shoes and found a place and you go, you know? You don't need anything, right?
Well, says us in Miami. When I was in Minnesota, it's so depressing when it gets cold. And then I had friends who would run in the snow and I'm like, no.
Absolutely not. And I hate the treadmill because that doesn't give me the freedom sensation. Yes. I feel like a little rat. but if I have to do it, I do it, you know?
Right.
But it's not... I mean, having this boardwalk here is...
Yeah, we are really lucky.
It's a blessing.
When I first moved here, I was so excited, but I had an Achilles injury and I couldn't run the first like 4 months I lived here. And it was such just a like a knife in my back of like, I live here and I can't run. It was very sad.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about nutrition because some people might think, okay, you've lost 90 pounds in 18 months. So you've lost about a pound a week. You must be starving yourself. You must have had weight loss surgery. And you know, people tell me all the time I cheated with weight loss surgery. Everyone listening wants to hear the thing that you did that they can't do that will mean that this won't work for them. And you have to disprove that by telling them now the truth.
Well, the situation is when I decided to lose weight, I put an appointment with a doctor in the University of Miami. And they gave me an appointment a year after the day I put that appointment, almost. Wow. So I said, I cannot wait a year for losing weight. I was in a BMI of 40, so I qualified for surgery at that moment, you know. So it was in my mind that I may need surgery, you know. But I have to get to the doctor first, you know, and the appointment was a year after. So I said, I can't wait a year for this to start, you know. I need to start this process right away, right? So I said, well, what do I do now, you know? So I know, I always know, I think most of the people know what they need to eat, you know. Yes. The reality is that, you know, like we most, and what you need to I'm not saying not eat because I don't have any forbidden foods in my diet. I don't drink alcohol now, but it's not because it's forbidden. If I have to go to some toast, I will probably sip something. It's because it doesn't give me any pleasure and it doesn't give me that relaxation that people look for that glass of wine at the end of the day. I don't like the taste so much, you know. Yeah. I prefer to have a piece of cake, you know, whatever. So if I'm going to trace the calories somewhere, that's not some calories that I want to take, you know. So, I mean, basically I started counting calories and counting my macros, you know. Not that much at the beginning. At the beginning, I was mostly focused on my calories. I didn't deprive myself like in a 1,200 calorie diet, you know. I look at my weight and what was my basal metabolic rate, you know, and
a
so
BMR.
On. Right. So, and then I added a few more calories to that, you know, and I was eating 1,800 calories a day, you know, which is not like you are starving to death or anything like that.
Yeah.
And I track them in the my fitness pal.
Yes.
And and I continue doing that. I mean, I haven't tracked for 2 weeks now, so I need to start tracking again because I just took a little bit of a rest, you know, on doing that. But and then I started looking more at my macros and including more protein in my diet. And at this point, I eat like 140 grams of protein a day. I only add one scoop of protein powder to my coffee in the morning. That's the only thing that is not like food coming from food, you know. But That's it. I mean,
makes me so happy. And
every day I count that and you know, one day I may eat 2,000 calories. I mean, and it's not the next day I say, oh no, tomorrow I don't need to eat anything because I am gonna compensate for those 200 calories that I eat more. The next day I eat normal, the same 1,800 calories. You know, I try to keep my meals simple. I try to eat mostly the same things. I am not very sophisticated in, oh, I need to have a different dish every day. You know, I don't care really that so helps. Much, you know. I try to keep the ingredients easy. I eat out in the restaurants. I buy food at lunch at work. You know, when I go to the office, I usually go to Publix and buy. They have these little boxes with chicken and or salmon or little salads, you know, from the deli.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I buy those things and I eat that, you know. So it's not like I am cooking 24 hours to get this done, you know. I don't eat any. I mean, at a certain point, I had the. I ate that. That was a long time ago, like probably 4 or 5 years ago. I was trying to lose weight. I did the Nutrisystem, for example. That I don't recommend that.
No, fake food.
Yeah, right. How can you get a food for a month in a box? You know, like
yes.
I need that. You know, it's just crazy. You know, so but yeah. I mean, that's I try not to add too many condiments or things to things, you know, because you don't know what is in there, how many calories in a little spoon of salad dressing or
exactly.
things like that, you know.
And are you hungry?
Yeah, I'm not hungry. No.
There you go. So it's so funny because
I have not
been your nutritionist this whole time. I mean, I touch base with you and answer questions.
Yeah.
But when I start people off on my program, I say, here's your BMR.
Yeah.
We're going to add a little bit of calories to that. You're going to log your food in MyFitnessPal.
Right.
We're going to aim for a gram of protein per pound of goal weight.
Right.
And you're going to start moving every day. And you're going to, you know, if you have a high calorie day, you're just going to stay right here. Right? So it's just crazy to me. Like, you are doing the thing that is the common sense, surefire way to change your health and nutrition, but you just have to make it your life. And then you get the result. And everybody wants to know, what is the secret? What is the magic sauce? What is the formula? And the formula doesn't change for anyone who successfully changes their health.
Yeah, no.
It's right there.
It's forever.
And it's forever. What you had to do to start on day one is what you have to do on day before you get into the casket.
And you cannot say, oh, I lost my weight. Now I'm going to, you know, that's it. I mean, if you do that, you are going to gain it again,
right,
you know?
No, it's consistency and it's common sense.
Yeah,
and what you've done is you found a way that works for you.
Yeah.
And then there is no like time that you're done. And
yeah, I don't believe in intermittent fasting. Or I mean, I know people do that. You know, maybe that helps you to have a small time where you are eating so you can restrict your calories. Because at the end, everything is about a caloric deficit, right? That you are in. You know, so. I mean, if you need to restrict the hours that you eat to be able to do that, you know, I eat at 10 o'clock at night sometimes, you know, because I come home, sometimes I 8 o'clock from work, you know, so I have dinner, or we have to bring our daughter to volleyball or all these things, you know, so we end up having dinner at 9 in the evening and I go to bed an hour after, you know.
Right.
I know it's not the best, you know,
right.
but it is what it is, right? And it doesn't mean that I'm not going to be able to lose weight because I do these things, you know. I don't have any forbidden foods or anything, you know. I mean, I just, if I eat 500 calories in a dessert, then I may have to control myself. So I don't want to do that because I don't want to be hungry the whole day, you know,
right.
because I ate a 500 calorie thing, you know.
Yeah.
So that's.
So what would you say to somebody? So this is the time of year people are trying to figure out, like, all right, I got to do something. You know, this is the time of year when we think New Year's resolutions. And it's good. I like the idea of the new year. Let's start something fresh.
Right.
I don't like resolutions. I like goals and I like just a shift in mindset.
Yeah.
So for somebody who come to you and say, okay, I've seen what you've done or I heard what you've done, well, where do I start and motivate me? What's the best thing you can say to somebody who needs to start?
They don't need to start the new year. They need to start tomorrow or today, I will say, you know.
I love you so much.
Yeah. I mean, why do you need to wait until the first of the year? It's the
now
same
imagine.
Thing. I was waiting for that doctor to see me to start my lost weight because, I mean, that would be excuses that I'm making, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't have an appointment now. I cannot start losing weight, right?
Year,
I need to wait for
miserable.
A whole year, right? So
yeah, I don't want to be miserable one more day.
You need to start today because that's what, you know, you will feel you are doing something for your life, you know, and changing it. If you really want to change it, you need to start right now, you know.
And
if you didn't want to change it, then you should not change it. I mean, it's
so true.
Because sometimes you're not ready for that, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what happened to me before I started. I I was not ready. And I was completely convinced I was not ready. I didn't want to change a thing of what I was doing, you know. So, of course, I wouldn't get the result. But I was not upset about not getting the result because I was not doing anything about that, yeah. You know.
Very so, logical. I love it.
Yeah, well, that's the way I am, you know. But that's maybe because I am an accountant, right? But, I mean...
Well, no, I was an accountant and I wasn't that way.
Or maybe in my past life I was a lawyer also, so I don't know, but that's the logic of my mind, you know. So, yeah.
So start now, don't wait.
Yeah, and they need to start right away. And I mean, you don't need to change everything at one time. You need to add, because some people say, oh, exercise 15 minutes. Sometimes I feel bad about that. Yesterday I went to the gym in the morning and I only had like less than half an hour. And I was, oh, do I need to change and then take a shower and do all this effort for only exercising half an hour? I say, yes, I need to do it, you know?
Yes.
I mean, this is the time I have, and it's better than zero, you know?
Right.
So,
it's like if someone tried to give you $30, you're like, well, it's not $100, I don't want it.
Right.
Like, no, I'll take it.
So you need to start with something. Let's say you change your nutrition. That will give you it will give you a result immediately. Like if you change your nutrition in a week, you may lose 1 pound, you know?
Yeah.
And 1 pound is not a lot, but if you start, right.
4 sticks of butter.
Right. Right. But some people say, oh, 1 pound, you know? But
you've lost 360 sticks of butter off your body.
And then you have, I think exercise is very important. And it's not because your body will change in shape or you become more fit or anything like that, but it sets your mindset that you are doing something for yourself, and it forces you to continue during the day behaving in a certain way, you know, because you did this effort in the morning or wherever you did it, you need to continue, you know, with your efforts toward being good to yourself during the rest of the day, you know, so I mean... But you need to walk, I mean, and start by walking. If you cannot do anything else, if you cannot enroll in a class, if you don't have time for anything else, try to find 15 minutes to walk in the morning and maybe 15 minutes to walk in the evening, you know. How many times we spend scrolling on the Instagram, watching things that they are not doing any good to us, you know?
Well, you can scroll on Instagram while you walk.
That's right.
I write
careful.
Yes. I write most of my social media content on the treadmill.
Right.
Because I got to be on there and I'm bored. So, And we're running out of time, but when we first sat down, I asked you what some of the most important things were that you wanted to kind of express. And talk a little bit about menopause, because I have my niche of clients are typically women in perimenopause or menopause. And it's a tough period of time. Hormones, I'm starting to enter it, so I'm getting a lot of empathy. But talk about your perspective on the stage of
life. I'm 54 years old. I'm going through menopause. I'm not yet in menopause because, you know, my period didn't disappear for a year because it came back.
Yeah.
And then I need to wait another year.
Yeah.
But whatever. But I am in menopause, evidently. I have hot flashes and all those things, you know. Yeah. I cannot sleep well at night and so on. But that didn't impair me from losing a pound, you know. So I was able to lose my weight with this menopause. My waist is the smallest that it has been, you know. My body looks good, you know, at this point.
Really good.
You know, I love it. I'm happy with it.
Yes.
I need to lose a little bit more weight. But, I mean, I think, you know, you should, and this is, I mean, of course, starting at 20 years old, exercising and keeping it throughout your life is the best, right? But the second best is starting today when you can start again, you know? I mean, there is nothing that impedes anyone to start exercising and feeling those benefits. And absolutely, the menopause shouldn't be one of those things, you know?
Well, and you are 54 years old.
Yeah.
And you took about a year and a half of your life to set these routines in. And now, if you live another 50 years, you get to live in this physique with this reality and this joy and these habits for the rest of the way.
Yeah.
Like it's so hard when you first start to think, oh, what if it takes me a year? Well, what if it takes you a year, but then you get 50? of happy, light, joyful lifestyle that lights you up. You know, if you do nothing, you already know what the rest of your life is going to feel like. And for you, you were not okay with that anymore. No. Same with me. I reached a point where I'm like, I don't want to live this way anymore. And your life doesn't have to stay that way for one more day.
That's right. And I think exercising and being fit allows me to do other things that I love in my life, you know, like if I need to go hiking somewhere or if I want to go dancing, you know, we went to see some shows, bands that we like, and I was able to dance the whole entire show, you know, and I wouldn't be able to do that before, you know, and that's joy, you know, I mean, having that ability with your body because you feel better, you know, you feel fitter, you know, it's amazing. Yeah.
It's so exciting.
Yeah, because I at a certain point I will have grandchildren and I want to be able to play with them on the floor, you know, it's not about being a supermodel at this point of your life, you know, but it's it's about being able to do things that in life that make your life better and happier and enjoyable, you know? So,
absolutely. It's not about a number on a scale. It's not about a size on the pants or looking good in a certain outfit or, you know, sizes, by the way, you know, they're all wrong on the clothes. If you're fighting for a number on a scale or a size on a pants, you're going to miss the whole joy of the journey. And what I've loved is I've watched you enjoy every single part of the journey. Yeah. Like you've never been like, you're doing so well. I never hear, oh yeah, well, it's really hard and I'm so tired and I have so much further to go. I've always gotten like, oh yeah, I feel so good. I love this. This is great. Like you've enjoyed every single step of the way. And everyone has just been so inspired by it to just say, there's no drudgery here. There's no hating it. This person is living and enjoying it and we get to watch it. And that's the right way to do it. Because then you know it's permanent. Like I'm never going to run into you in 10 years and you have gone backwards. Like I'll run into you in 10 years and you'll have done far above what I can even imagine. And that's a sure thing because you've made this your life.
Yeah.
That's inspiring.
Yeah.
And that's how you do it.
Yeah.
That's how you transform.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, any final words?
I don't know. I only say that being part of the group of the boot camp and so on helped me a lot to be that, to do this. You know, I think people need to find that also. Sometimes starting alone, like I started the gym a few weeks ago to go to the gym, and it's a different sensation, you know. Yeah. So if you are out of shape, I don't feel so bad because I'm not out of shape and I can do things, you know. But if you are super out of shape and you need to go to a gym and you see all these people and you know it can be hard. But I think, for example, the boot camp, the environment that we have there, it's something that allowed me to come back to exercising in a way that I didn't feel judged or I didn't feel, you know, that I need to do something that I cannot do or my ego didn't interfere with anything, you know. So the people are very receptive, very, you know, caring about others, you know. So I think people need to find a group where they can feel this way, the way I feel about this group, you know.
It's so true. I'm so happy about boot camp because I went out there with no intention and it just has been curated that way. I always say by the universe, but our people are so great. But my story includes the same thing. I found a community where I felt like an athlete, where I felt like if I wasn't there, they noticed and I had a place. And it didn't matter that I was, if I was the fastest, the strongest, whatever. That was my first CrossFit gym where, I mean, I couldn't do a lot of the things, but that community. And so to find whatever that community is for you is key. And the nice thing is you can just start walking and don't need to go to a gym. And maybe you can find a walking group or a buddy.
Right.
But having that where I always say I would go to see my friends and the workout was the side effect, that helps because, you know, you're just going to see your friends and then you end up moving your body. Yeah. You end up exercising. Yeah. So really key.
Yeah.
And we're lucky that we have boot camp. So find your people.
In this case, it's not only the people and also it's the environment and the beach and everything, you know. But I mean, having a community, it's very important when you need to do this. especially when you need to lose a lot of weight, you know?
Yes. Yeah. Community.
Yeah. Yeah.
Community is key. I believe in it so wholeheartedly, which is, again, why I built this little community by accident, but I'm just, it's a happy accident.
Yeah.
I always tell everybody, I need you guys more than you need me. So, well, thank you so much for being on the podcast. I'm so excited.
Thank you, Kristen. I really like to be here. And I mean, I share something that can motivate someone out there, I don't know, that can listen to the story and can think about what can they do to change their lives, right?
Yes.
So, yes.
So if you listened and you're inspired, you need to let me know and then I'll pass it on to Nadina. And then like everybody who I've ever had on here, I like to have people back. So we'll have Nadina back on so we can get another follow up with what next big things she's doing in the next year and new ways that she can inspire and motivate. She is supposed to do the half marathon with us if her calf will hold up, which I believe in her calf.
In 2 years, I'm going to do the Ironman 73.
Oh, you heard it here. All right. I will not be joining you for that, but I will cheer you on. That's phenomenal.
Yeah.
All right. Well, congratulations on your 360 sticks of butter that you've removed off of your person.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Thank you so much.
So,
yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
Ending these podcasts is always the hardest part. So we just say that. Okay. Thanks for tuning in to the podcast. I'm so excited you're here. If you want to interact with me, go ahead and send me an email, Kristen@KristensmithOnline.com. Follow me on Instagram, The Kristen Experience, and make sure you share this podcast with a friend. That's all I have for you today. Have an awesome week. We'll see you next time here on Destination Begin.